Okay, here it goes. So, Melissa Mundy, welcome to Linza Question and Answers. We wanted to talk to you a little bit today about your role as a business owner in Augusta, Georgia, running a catering and restaurant business during a pandemic of all times. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to run this particular business or set of businesses?
Sure. My background is actually human resources and management. I worked primarily first in the medical industry for medical companies and medical transcription company, and came to be in this business because my husband and myself entered into a partnership with a golf course management group. And there was, of course, a food and beverage operation at the golf course. And we had an excellent executive chef at that time. And we began getting requests for events and event management, catering, at offsite events. And so we started doing more and more of that offsite as well as at the golf course. And so we decided to start a separate catering and event management business from that. And so I started to manage that part of the business. And so that's sort of how it happened.
So the catering business is an offshoot or a side business that grew out of the original business and its success.
Right, exactly.
Got it. Okay. How many employees do you have?
We have about 15 employees. We have some full-time and some part-time employees as well that we use for additional catering events as we need to.
Okay. I'd like to know, like, how do you balance the needs of the two business lines from a hiring perspective? Is there overlap between your staff?
There is. We do, of course, some of the regular restaurant employees also work some of the catering events. And then we have other employees, part-time employees, some students, and other employees that work additional jobs. They also come and work some of the catering events with us, and they may not work full-time in the restaurant. So there is some overlap between the two staffs.
So, how did you end up catering to a sports clientele? Was that just a natural fit for your services, or is that part of the area where you live, or how did that work?
It actually is because our business is located in Augusta, and of course we have the great Masters tournament that takes place here. So that tournament naturally has a need for event management and catering with all of the events and clientele that come into town just around that tournament. And with us being here, we naturally get calls for that, and there's a need for that. So it is definitely a natural fit.
Okay, I was leading a bit with that question because I know exactly about Augusta. So I actually wanted to ask you. I know that you generally, like many businesses where you live, you generate about, well, a large portion of your annual revenue during the Masters Golf Tournament week. And last year, the Masters was canceled because of the coronavirus. So, like, what was that like? How did you adapt your business to survive?
Yes, it was definitely a devastating change for us. As for all hospitality businesses and even just the local restaurants here, took a large hit with that. And we definitely had to make some changes to what we were doing. So we, as all of our catering business changed a lot because all catering events were canceled around the Masters and other events as well. So we really had to switch over more to the restaurant with what we were doing there, and we really adapted to do more takeout delivery services that we weren't doing before, because we're located in a large community of houses or a large residential development. We went to doing a lot of delivery to the homes there. We also went to doing some grocery services as well. So we worked with our food vendor, and we developed grocery service delivery as well. And people could come in and pick up groceries. And also we did delivery services for those as well. So especially as a lot of the grocery stores around became short on certain supplies, we could offer some grocery staples that were easier for us to be able to receive through our food vendors.
So you were doing grocery delivery for people in the area then.
Right, exactly.
That sounds like you really improvised.
We did. We definitely tried to be creative and find some other sources for revenue that we didn't normally do before.
Is that something other businesses in the area were doing as well? Did you learn from them, or like how have competitors reacted to the same situation?
There were a few that did that as well. We actually worked with our food vendors were very helpful in that, in offering that sort of thing. There were a couple of other country club type restaurants that did some of the same kind of thing, and they actually were more country clubs that were located in residential areas that did some of the same kind of thing. We also did a lot of family meal offerings as well. And a lot of restaurants started doing that also. You could come pick up meals for, four people, six people, eight people, that sort of thing. So that was, I think, very helpful to a lot of people. So that was also another change that we did. And I think really that all of the restaurants and hospitality businesses really worked kind of more in a lesson. We're always in competition with each other, but I think that we all tried to learn from each other and work more together than in competition during that time, really.
Okay. So while all of this is going on, you're struggling, the community of business owners is coming together and you're learning from each other. And at the same time, you have this hiring, you have 15 employees now. So I don't know when how many you had when you started out, but obviously, you have to pay these employees, and I know that your revenue was affected. So what was it like managing staff during a pandemic? Did it affect your hiring? How did it affect the industry as a whole?
Yes, of course, it was a huge, huge difference for us. For example, we had one person who was devoted to marketing, and that person, unfortunately, we had to offer that person unemployment assistance, which was helpful because the unemployment programs that were offered, through the state and local governments, she was able to take advantage of that because obviously there wasn't a huge need for marketing at that particular point in time. So we were able to take advantage of that, and so that was very helpful. And so it was definitely a different situation and a big change for that at the time. So we just had to try to keep everybody together and stay hopeful and try to pull together and use different ideas for what we could do to generate revenue and really just try to pull together and see the current changes. And there were, of course, lots of news conferences from the local and state and local governments during that time, and just try to pull together and make sense of what was going on and try to really adapt to the circumstances.
Right. So were the relief programs helpful at all? Were you able to get any kind of government support? Like the people who you had to let go or put on furlough, were they supported as well through these government programs?
They were. The first payroll protection program was I think really crucial in helping to support us through that time and the employees as well, because without that I think things would have probably been very different for us. But it was definitely helpful because obviously we saw a huge decrease in our revenue at
Right.
the time, and that really helped us to keep our core group of employees together and helped us to keep the doors open and continue to offer the support for our community during that time. It was definitely tricky with the paperwork and all of the forms and things that we had to go through to fill out. But once we got to that point, and got through all of the paperwork and all the red tape we had to go through, it definitely made a huge difference to us and to be able to keep the employees that our core group together and to be able to keep them employed.
It's great that you were able to do that. You talked about you actually come from an HR background. So what was it like managing a team during the pandemic? Were there moments when you had to deliver some hard news or let people go that were troubling? Did your HR training help you with that at all?
I think it definitely did. It's a lot. I think that managing, especially I think in the food and beverage industry, We all work together so closely, and it's almost like, you know, whenever you have a tough shift or, you know, work together in that particular industry, it's almost like you go into battle together anyway every day, and then you, you know, come back the next day to do it all over again. And so we all work together, and we're really like family. And I think that's different in our industry maybe than in other industries. So we're all very close to begin with, and then going through something like that, I think really pulls people together, you know, more closely. And so to go through something like that definitely pulls people together even more closely. And so it really helped us to come together as a team, and people were able to offer ideas and suggestions and different ways to do things and to adapt more creatively. But my HR background definitely helped from a management perspective, and to, you know, just to be able to help kind of hold everything together. But there were definitely difficult moments, and, you know, times when we weren't able to keep everybody together, and we definitely had to, you know, to do some different things with positions that we didn't like to have to do. So
sure. Would you, like, with that, given all of that, would you recommend this as a as an industry for someone who's looking for a job for the first time? Do you think this is a good industry to enter into?
I really do, with all that being said, because, you know, I think that the service industry is one that it's always going to be there. You know, people always have to, people are always going to want to go out to eat and want to go out. And, you know, there's always that people need human connection and human interaction, and people need, you know, need that entertainment and just the ability to be able to go out and, you know, connect with friends and family in a way that is outside of their homes. And we really see that more now as, you know, as people are being able to get the vaccine, people are coming out again. And it's just really fun and exciting for us to be able to see, you know, friends and neighbors being able to come out and get together again and do things. And of course, there are always weddings. People are always going to get married. And, you know, even though some of those events, of course, are smaller than, you know, than they used to be, there are fewer people, you know, getting together at one time. It's just really nice to see that, you know, that human connection. I think that this industry is one that, you know, once it kind of gets in your blood, it's hard to get away from it. And it's really about, you know, serving people and being able to, you know, to celebrate just people getting together and enjoying each other. And I think that I really think that at some point in your life, everybody should be in the service industry at one point or another, because it really helps you to appreciate, you know, what it takes to serve someone in one capacity or another.
I have to wonder if the sense of community around the actual service industry, if that maybe affects how you feel about your employees, because you talked about banding together and feeling like you were part of a family. So even though there's economic instability, the industry itself is very, very close knit, and people are helping each other, and there's a support network there.
Right. I think that's very, very true. So, you know, there were several restaurants here that, you know, that really, really did come together and try to help each other out. And, you know, you develop regular customers too, of course. And I think we really saw just the generosity of people. So, you know, some of our regular customers, and then even, you know, you develop, of course, new customers that come in, and, you know, people really tried to support, you know, the staff here, and, you know, just giving, you know, really generous tips when they didn't have to do that. And, you know, really wanted to help, you know, help to see restaurants stay open, and really try to come out and support, you know, support us and other, you know, restaurants, as much as they possibly could. So it was really a neat thing to see, just kind of the generosity of the human spirit. So it sounds a little bit sappy, but I think that's definitely true. So
do you have advice for small business owners during a pandemic? I mean, how can they deal with the situation?
Gosh, that's really hard, because of course we've all had to deal with things that, you know, we never ever thought we would have to deal with, right? I mean, you know, a year and a half ago, if anybody tried to tell us that would happen, we would all have just, you know, laughed and said, that's crazy. And we have no idea what you're talking about. But I think that, you know, one thing is that there's always potential for improvement and change. And I think that, you know, that to be able to survive, you always have to be able to change and adapt. And I think that, you can take situations and always look at, you know, challenges as opportunities, and, you know, always just keep hope that, you know, that there's always a different way to do something. So instead of looking at a problem as a problem, you know, look at it as a challenge or an opportunity to find a new and a different way to do something. I think that's probably the thing that we've learned from this more than anything else. So I think that's really important to remember that. So there's always a way to, you know, to learn from something and to find a new way to adapt. And, you know, something good can always come from something that you might look at first as a negative, but you can always turn it into a positive.
I think the service industry is a net positive for humanity.
I agree. I think we would definitely agree with that. So,
well, it's now International Women's Month, all March, and you are not only a small business owner, you are a woman entrepreneur. What is that like? Do you have any thoughts on what that means, on advice for other women who might want to enter the services or catering restaurant industry?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Of course, as you know, as a woman and having you know, to come up in the, you know, the time that I have and having you know, worked my way up through first in the corporate world and now in the service industry, I think that, you know, as a woman, you always have to work maybe a little bit harder than other people, and you have to prove yourself at first. First, I think you have to prove what you can do and work a little bit harder. I say never underestimate yourself. So sometimes we tend to, you know, to underestimate what, you know, what we can do. And I think that's really important. And, you know, never be afraid to try something new and different. So I think that's also very important. I think that we can do pretty much anything. And there's so many more opportunities open now. I think every opportunity is open to anyone. So I think that that we've all learned that. And I think that the service industry is a great one to go into, because I think that we as women have such empathy and understanding for others that it's a really great industry to get into. And if you have a great product and you can deliver it in a way that's unique, that other people might not be able to see, you know, we have a great product, I think, and we have a great way to deliver it, because we offer our product with a really unique twist on the service and the way that we do it. We treat all of our customers as family, and I think that that's something that's really unique. Not everybody can do that. That, you know, we're able to do it that way. I think that it's a great industry to get into, and I say go for it.
Well, job seekers who are watching this, who want to support you, get to know you better, and enjoy your delicious meals, can do that if they're in the Augusta, Georgia area. Where else can people find you online?
They can find us at caterworks.com and also at the clubhouse at jonescreek.com as well. So we're open every day of the week except for Monday. So Tuesday through Friday, we serve lunch and dinner. And on Saturdays and Sundays, we serve a delicious brunch. And we cater at any venue for pretty much any event. So you can either eat with us on site, or we will bring food to you off site as well.
So it's caterworks.com, and it's unconventional spelling. Could you spell that for?
It is. Sure. It's caterworks.com.
Fantastic. I'm going to go check that out. And are you on social media channels as well? Instagram, anything like that?
We are. Yes. We're on Instagram and Facebook, both Caterworks and the Clubhouse at Jones Creek.
Sounds good. Okay. Everybody go visit them, give them a follow, and enjoy their delicious meals and services. Thank you, Melissa Mundy, for your time. It's been great talking with you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it as well.